Hello and welcome to our episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce, and joining me today is Wario Will.
Finally back from the Thanksgiving holiday. Had so much sushi, and what a better way to spend my final hours of being 30 years old with these guys. Oh, how great is that? Yes, people, I am officially turning 31 by the time of this recording, by this podcast has released it. So yay, fun times, I'm getting old.
I didn't realize I was only like a year older than you. Not even a year, 11 months, right? Like, when were you born? The 3rd?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, literally.
There you go. So yeah, I'm literally 11 months older than you. So I actually feel a little better about that for some reason. Anyway, also, Telly is Tyler.
Yeah, I actually thought that you were like significantly older than Will as
Same.
Well. So this is new knowledge.
Yeah, because I mean, I know I'm way older than you, Tyler.
Yeah, Tyler's the youngest one here.
Yeah, Tyler's the youngest one.
You would never guess listening to the show either, because I'm the most mature one here.
Clearly. Clearly. Yeah, and also laughing with the crew, and back for his second ever show, it's Skull Kid Scott.
Hey.
Yeah? So we're actually good that we have him here, because we have a kind of a light news day, but we have an interesting main event to talk about. But we'll get all started off, of course, with what have you been playing? And Will, since you were in anime land last week, why don't you reveal to us what you have been playing? I was going to make a cosplay joke here, but I will not, so just go right into it.
Quick correction, last week was because it was Thanksgiving holiday. I was with my family, had sushi.
That's right.
A quick
Sorry.
Clarification of that.
Sorry.
And, yeah, this past week has been quite fruitful because, like, yeah, during Thanksgiving, I actually have played one round of Mario Party Superstars with family, and yeah, it's crazy as you expect it. Mario Party Superstars is just absolutely fun. Played on Yoshi's Island. It was just back and forth. So yeah, that was fun. Also played a little bit of Mario Kart 8 Deluxe with family, so that's always a great time. As well as continuing on with my journey of Shin Megami Tensei 5, which right now I'm actually just hit it to the when I faced up against Lamu, the dark god. So I'm currently at, like, I think there's really no chapters, but like in the still fairly in the early part of the game. So doing that, as well as continuing on with my adventures of the new season of Fall Guys Season 6. And I would never have thought they actually would have a collaboration with Ghost of Tsushima, which they actually had the Jin Sakai and the Ghost costume. But again, nice little deal. So yeah, Fall Guys Season 6 out now. As well as I'm continuing on with my almost finished up with Lost Judgments, which, yeah, definitely ramping up. I can't wait to finally finish up another game from the Yakuza series, so just that. As well, as usual, continuing on with my adventures on Fire Emblem Heroes. And we just recently had the new Mythic and Legendary banner of Thor and Itri. And, okay. I mean, yeah, obviously a lot of people really didn't like that ending, especially with that whole, I guess, a monologue with Itri of like, oh, you think you were any different? No. How is it different you summon soldiers, generals, even gods to your bidding? It's like, okay,
because I'm not a dick to them, obviously. All right, I'm just saying, I'm not a dick to them. I mean, the worst thing I do is merge allies somehow. I guess I merge life forms so they can become stronger. Heaven forbid I do that.
right, and we have become fond and see the multiverses of all these copies of our characters. Yeah, but I did.
Can we both agree that she was exuding some big? So what's the phrase? Oh yeah, BDE, big Dio energy. Right, that's how it goes.
The
right,
the face, yes, yeah. The face is such meme material right there.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty much.
But yeah. Overall, like, okay, like obviously the ending of it, like, bleh, not what you expected. It's pretty bland. But now, like, but again, we're getting ready for the next book six, and we're more or less gonna be continuing on with the theme of Norse mythology. So yeah, again, we hit it. Yeah. I think Asgard. Yeah, well, basically we're hitting the Norse mythology realm. So I just wonder which realm is going to be next. So that's the one I'm kind of curious about.
I wouldn't be surprised if they focus more on Thor, because between what's going on with the Tempest Trials with her and Loki's bet, and the fact that we can now summon her, I wouldn't be surprised if Thor is the one we're focusing on, or in some capacity.
True, true, true. And I just wonder if we actually will be seeing Odin, if anything else, because again, we always hear them talk about the All Father, and like, yeah, will we ever see Odin? That thing, I'll be very surprised. Well, hopefully, we'll get to see Asgard some down the line, which maybe in book six, maybe down the line. We are expected to have a Fate channel soon, so yeah. But yeah, I'll just wrap it up. So yeah, and of course, this banner, I'm actually going to summon Thor, which again, you cannot deny the World Breaker. And I just love that skill. The World Breaker is such a great thing. But yeah. So overall, yeah, I've been more of a busy week for the most part. So yeah, thankfully my Fate banners has been good. So yeah, overall it's been good.
Yeah, I'm sure you were glad to summon Thor because of her skills. Right, Will. Totally.
You cannot deny the World Breaker.
Uh-huh. All right. How about you, Skull Kid? What have you been playing?
So yes. I finished my run of Pokemon, finally got to the park.
Nice.
I also started, or I guess, well, did the new event stuff in Avengers, just so I could try out Spider-Man. And then also finished the new event for Genshin Impact.
Okay, yeah.
I saw some footage of the Spider-Man in the Avengers, and it looked... Like, next to Insomniac's Marvel Spider-Man, it did not look great, I will say.
Insomniac's is still a bunch better, but I feel like a lot of the new sources are only using, like, a level 1 Spider-Man. And the thing with Avengers is for you to get, like, ultimate playstyle, you have to get them to, like, level 30 at least.
Oh, okay.
So, like, the little web shooters you switch out for just, like, canisters that you can actually tie people down instantly. Which are so much better than what like the people have showed it just doing the normal like I don't know like pew 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 of the spider whips, which are terrible.
Yeah.
So I just want to confirm what you guys just said. You're saying that Marvel Insomniac Spider-Man is better than Avengers? Wow.
That's not.
Oh, that's a big surprise.
Saying it's what you said.
It's just brutal for the Avengers game because you have this comparison point right there. Marvel Spider-Man is one of the best games of the. Prior generation. So
well, it also explains what happens when you put actual effort into video game development. Oh, I don't remember Marvel and Insomniac Spider-Man having a 1,000 bug patch. I'm just saying.
Most of their patches they add features, which is nice.
Yeah,
random costumes.
Well, the concept. adding things to actually benefit the game beyond patching it. It's such a novel concept.
Yeah, Avengers is still a bit rough because they still have some weird glitches or bugs that I feel like they could have ironed out, but they're so focused on adding new events and new endgame content that it kind of makes their patching kind of rough. I guess that's the problem with live service games, though, is because you want to continuously produce content for the game, but you also need to fix the game when there's problems. And Avengers is right now just focused on consistently making more content for it.
Yeah, and you have to consider how many resources to allocate towards, you know, new content versus fixing the old stuff. And obviously, the bottom line is what matters most at the end of the day. So I think the new stuff is what's going to sell.
Yeah,
and that makes the game suffer down the line.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, the Black Panther stuff is amazing compared to the other like content patches they gave us. It's just the Spider-Man one is lackluster because they said it was going to be lackluster. Like, we only know that PlayStation's doing it, so we're not going to put as much effort into this as much as we're going to put effort into, like, the raid system. And so they put more effort into the raid system in Spider-Man, and it shows. The raids are more fun. Spider-Man is not that fun. But he's still okay. But I think I'll still probably go back to playing as Captain America just to keep maxing him out because I'm still, like, the top 1% of Captain America players. I think it's because nobody
wow.
knows Captain America.
There you go. It's like, wait, aren't you impressive? I am. That's a positive top 1% right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right up there with like my top 1% fro. Anyway, moving on. So, Tyler. Perfect segue. How about you? What have you been playing recently?
Yeah, that was very smooth.
Thank you.
It was a quieter week for me. I, of course, played plenty of Mario Party over the... Thanksgiving, so that was fun. But I've also started playing Hollow Knight a little bit, and that's been a game on my to-do list for a long time now that I'm playing it. I have to say, I feel like it's a tiny bit overrated. I'm still at the beginning of the game, but this is like an indie darling that people love, a Metroid-style game. And after playing, maybe it's because I just played Metroid Dread, but there was plenty of discussion online that Hollow Knight is so much cheaper than Metroid Dread and it's better. And there's just that's just not accurate. Metroid Dread is, to me, so much better in terms of level design, at least. Hollow Knight, it's much more of a game where they throw you in and you can get lost in the world, and you know you're searching for new paths to find and all that stuff. But there's not a lot of direction to it. And Metroid Dread, and some people might really like that, right? People don't like to have their hands held. Some people don't like hand-holding during games. But I don't feel like Metroid Dread was a hand-holding game. I felt like Metroid Dread's level design was so smart that it constantly propelled you and pushed you in the right direction while maintaining this kind of sense of exploration. Like, I didn't realize that I was lost in this world because the game was so smart in how it directed you where to go next. But I never felt like, oh, I know exactly where to go. So it was this perfect blend of discovery while constantly making progress. In Hollow Knight, I have this, you find this character who gives you like a map of one area, and the map is like crudely drawn and it's not very detailed, and it's only like a tiny snapshot of the world. So I finished this first stage and I'm like moved on to this next section, but I don't have a map of that area either, and I have no idea where I am. Which is, you know, it's not the worst thing in the world. Playing is fun. Moving around, the controls are sharp. The combat is really intuitive. I like the game overall. It's definitely got a lot of strengths to it. But I do feel like I find myself, more often than not, aimlessly wandering rather than moving with purpose. And coming off of Metroid Dread, where there was constantly something pushing me forward, and I felt like that's something 90% of the time was brilliant level design. I'm a little bit disappointed. Again, I don't hate the game. I'm sure I'll like it more the more I play it and the more I get the hang of it. But I feel like that discussion around the comparison of Dread to Hollow Knight and other indies, it just feels unfair. I personally enjoyed Axiom Verge 2 more than I've enjoyed Hollow Knight so far as well. But I know that I am in the extreme minority on that stance. Maybe the more I play, the more I'll come around to it.
Well, we've talked about this before on the show, that it's a different kind of team. They're going for a different kind of feel, different kind of story and such. And obviously the gameplay is different in terms of, you know, weapons and all that. But as in all things, it's about how you enjoy the game. And I'll give you a great example, and I'm not ragging on them this time, I promise, but G4 did a list on XPlay recently about games you should play during the Thanksgiving Day weekend, or games you should get friends or something like that. And Adam Sessler, who I admire greatly, said that he hates Metroid Dread. He says he doesn't like the level design. He doesn't like the story. He didn't think it looked good, which that hurt. Like, that hurt my soul, because I've commented on how slick the game looks a lot, and it really does to me. But then Gerard, the completionist, he loved the game. And he's like, I'm not going to let Adam's opinion spoil Metroid Dread for some of you. So there you go. You have two very accomplished gamers. You know, they know their stuff. One liked Dread. One didn't. Who's right? Neither of them, because it's their opinions. And you need to make yours. Okay?
Gerard's right.
Gerard's totally right. Well, he has 100% on the game. I would bet you Adam wasn't even at 50%. 50%. I mean, I'm just saying. He's not that kind of gamer. I'm just kidding. Appreciate you, Mr. Sessler. But no, you gotta like the ones you like. If you liked Metroid Dread more than Hollow Knight, then great. But if the reverse had been true, and you liked Hollow Knight more than Metroid Dread, you're not insulting Dread. You're just saying that you enjoyed Hollow Knight more. And that's just the way it is. So
yeah.
We can't let this debate. Oh, these debate about like, oh, this is just so much better. That's your opinion, though. It happens with movies, TV shows, comics, video games, everywhere. Play it, watch it, read it, enjoy it, or don't. It's your opinion. So you can say it. Don't force it. That's the difference. Okay?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Thank you. Anything else, Tyler?
Nope, that was it. That was it.
For me, outside of playing Heroes, I'm doing the Choose Your Banner event, or Choose Your Legends event. No.
No,
Voting
no,
Gauntlet.
That's
Voting
not for
Gauntlet.
A while. That's not for a while.
Voting Gauntlet. I knew that didn't sound right. No, Voting Gauntlet. There we go. So that one's still early. I picked Ninian. Not really sure why. I'm just like, you know, I try and go for characters I honestly resonate with in one way or another. And Ninian's story is heartbreaking because she either dies and doesn't come back. She dies and does come back, but doesn't get to be with Elwood. Or she dies, or she does dies, comes back, stays with Elwood and forsakes her dragon heritage or something like that. It just depends on the ending. So either way, she's a great character. So I decided to choose her. I don't know if I'm going to win. I have horrible luck in these things. I still don't know how certain characters have won these dang gauntlets in the past. I blame all of you, and that's not an opinion, that's a fact. All right.
Well, like, I guess I'll just also just kind of build that. So, actually, personally, for me, I would actually post Tsubasa of Tokyo Mirage Sessions because, ironically enough, it is actually her birthday today at the time of recording. So, yeah.
Really?
Is yes, ironically enough.
I've never played Mirage Sessions. I had no interest in playing Mirage Sessions. It was a bit too anime for me. Just saying. So, yeah, no.
I thought it was really fun.
Stop it! Did I ask for your opinion, Skull Kid? If I want your opinion, the host will ask for it. Anyway, also, have you gotten your review up, Skull Kid?
It's in the processing phase. Uh-huh. I finish it. I just need to wait for it to get approved.
Uh-huh. So, as you just heard, it'll be up right next to Tyler's Celeste review. Isn't that right, Tyler? Anyway, but I have, too, I've been playing Brilliant Diamond, and I am not done with the game. And I am perfectly okay with that. I have been actually spending a lot of time in the underground, going through the various rooms and seeing what Pokemon pop up. And I am amazed at times at the Pokemon that pop up in that bloody thing. Here's my biggest one. I got a Togepi. Just showed up in one of the rooms. I'm like, I've got to get this Togepi. I don't think I've ever had a Togepi in the game before. If I did, you got it in the original Johto games. I don't remember. But I freaked out when I saw a Togepi. That for me is like one of the best parts of this game is that when I see a Pokemon that I haven't caught, I react to it. I'm like, oh, I gotta get this Pokemon. I have never used Quick Balls more than I have in this game because I am trying to catch these Pokemon without dealing with all the crap of getting them down to the red or resisting 1,000 Ultra Balls like that dang Onix in my first run or my first few hours. And I'm just like throwing out Quick Balls, especially in the underground. And I regret nothing, especially when it works the first time. Like, beautiful. Love it. So I'm enjoying it. It's a lot of fun. I actually like not having to review this game. I'm sure Scott's review will be fine. But no, I'm serious. I'm sure it'll be fine. But I'm used to reviewing the games from the podcast, and I'm fine with that too because I get to take my time. I get to enjoy it more. I'm enjoying like the graphics, like the backgrounds of the battles, like, especially when you fight Team Galactic and they have like the galaxy background. Like, that's really cool. I'm noticing like the little things in terms of like how the if you get your Riolu, spoiler, you get a Riolu. If you get your Riolu to follow behind you, it actually does like its running animation from the anime. But here's a fun fact: if you get an Ekans to walk behind you, it does not walk. It does not slither. It stays in its coiled form and somehow hovers behind you. How is it moving? I don't know. I saw this on a Twitter GIF, and it's just like it's there in its coiled form, just like hovering and moving behind you. I do not know how. Like, it boggles the mind.
Psychic power of Ekans?
No, it's a poison Pokemon. It does not have psychic abilities.
I know.
Abilities.
I was making a joke of that. I know.
I know, but some of them might not know. So I'm telling you, it's a poison Pokemon, and I'm just like, I don't know if that's just laziness on the Pokemon people's side. I mean, they had to know that someone was going to do an Ekans follow along because someone loves an Ekans out there and not just people named Jesse. I pray someone gets that reference. But, okay, someone did. Good. But, like, that's just funny because, you know, I had my Infernape. That was my starter. And it followed me and it was fine run animation. Then I saw Riolu and it did, like, its very cool Naruto-style run animation. It's totally a Naruto animation. You know, believe it. And then here's Ekans, like, floating behind you in coiled form. I don't get it. I don't understand. But I'm fine with it. It's like, okay, Pokemon World, everybody. It's wild. Remember, a Machamp can punch 1,000 times in 2 seconds. How? Don't know. How does it throw people into orbit? I don't know, but that's what the Seismic Toss does. And remember, it's better than Goro from Mortal Kombat. It was proven in Death Battle. You're welcome. So, and also, I'm actually just glad to be, like, enjoying this game because, as Tyler pointed out before the podcast, this was supposed to be when Advance Wars Reboot Camp came out, and now it's not. So this is the game I'm holding on to until Arceus comes out next month, which we can now say it comes out next month. How is it almost 2022? I don't know.
It wouldn't be an episode of NEP if we didn't say, wow, time is going by so fast. Will says it in the intro.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like there's a time Pokemon accelerating things faster than we realize. Hmm. Nobody? That's a Dialga reference.
No.
Oh. That's Dialga. It's brilliant time. Oh god dang it.
No.
Deep breath, Todd. Deep breaths. Okay. You're the host. Get it together. Anyway. So but yes, be on the lookout for Scott's review. I'm sure it'll be up tomorrow or Friday time of recording. Or this weekend. We'll make sure it gets approved. We promise. Alright. Alright, so next up we have the news. We honestly have some very interesting stories to talk about. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, something we actually talked about last week, Pokemon Evolutions. Yes, this still exists. You're welcome. Episode 5, which came out today at the time of this recording, was about, wait for it, the Sinnoh region. It's almost like they planned this. Even though they're a few weeks late, just saying. But this time we focused on Barry, your very impatient, fast-paced rival, who's, let's be honest, he's a bit of an airhead. But we love him so, kind of. I prefer him to Paul, alright? Like, I know Paul is not game canon, but anime canon, but I will take Barry over Paul any day of the week. I'm just saying. So, it was nice. It was good. I like that they focused on Barry's recollection of events versus the trainer and him going against his dad. It actually felt like I was watching something new versus something I've watched before, like with all the other episodes beforehand. So I don't know what they're going to do with the next three, but more than likely they're going to shell them out before the end of the year to end it strong. So we shall see, which means that it would end on the 23rd. That's nice, like right before Christmas. You know, that's what they need to do. They need to do a Pokemon Christmas episode. I think they've done that once before in the original anime, but they need to do it again. Just because. I mean, why not? I mean, come on. I mean, if you, for all you Arrowverse fans, they did Bebo Saves Christmas, and I couldn't even watch that. I just couldn't. Even, like, the internet was like, this is so weird, and the team behind it were like, mission accomplished. I'm like, is it, though? Is it mission accomplished for making a weird or cartoon special of a character that doesn't actually exist? I don't know. I'm just saying. I mean, don't we technically have a reindeer Pokemon? I mean, we have various deer. We have, like, you know, Stantler and who was the Unova one or the Kalos one? I don't remember. I'm going to look that up. I got to know. Do we have a reindeer Pokemon? Reindeer Pokemon. Guess not. Darn. I'm really disappointed by that. Yeah, so we got Stantler. Oh, yeah, Swassbuck. There we go. And it has a winter form. Now I remember. Yeah, there was a winter form Swassbuck. And Y Deer. Oh, there you go. Y Deer from Legends Arceus. That one's got a that's technically a reindeer, I suppose. Also, have you guys ever noticed we don't have a dolphin Pokemon? Like, that seems so odd. We have like 1,000 Pokemon now and we don't have a dolphin. Like, how did that escape the radar? The Poke radar? I don't know. The world may never know. Alright, moving on to a very important story. Last week, we talked about how Nintendo released a letter bashing the Activision Blizzard statement. Yeah, it's 2 weeks ago, I don't remember now. But now, Nintendo has also released a memo at large to the company where they promised to be more diverse in their hiring and be more employee-focused in terms of helping them out. For example, They note that, quote, the company does not have specific targets for the appointment of women, foreign nationals, and mid-careers to managerial positions. However, as a global company engaging in the entertainment business, which is characterized by increasingly diversifying customers' needs and preferences, this is a lot of words, it is essential that we leverage the talents of a diverse workforce. Therefore, We are committed to respecting the personality and strengths of each and every employee, including employees from our overseas subsidiaries, and developing an environment where employees of diverse backgrounds can maximize their potential, end quote. And they also noted that for women, they're not just focused on recruiting them, but creating an environment in which women can build successful careers. So as we were talking about before the podcast, this is a great story. I like that Nintendo was saying this, coming out and stating this and showing their employees, was sent to the employees and was leaked outside it, that, you know, we are focused on this. But why weren't you doing this beforehand?
It's just definitely an interesting moment. Like, yeah, a little bit too convenient. Is it we're going to timing, we're going to the years and all that. It's, yeah, like, the fact they have to go and put out this statement, especially with the whole, I'll just say it, the whole Blizzard Activision kerfuffle right now that's happening, and just everywhere in the game industry itself. Yeah, it's definitely kind of definitely spreading out throughout everywhere. I mean, heck, Microsoft, Sony answered on the whole trouble in issues. So yeah, now that Nintendo, I mean, why not saying, I mean, I think, yeah, Bowser said in emails to the employees that, yeah, they are aware of the situation, and now with this statement of, yeah, we are putting effort to put more diverse for employment in the workplace, and basically respectful all around. I mean, yeah, that's great. It's yeah, kind of a little bit reactionary, don't you think?
A little bit.
That's how it comes off to me anyway.
Yeah. Skull Kid, any thoughts?
I mean, my only thoughts is it's kind of more of us using a PR, I think, more than anything, because I'm assuming that they probably already do diversity in Nintendo anyways. I don't think it's really going to change their practices as much as they say they are.
Yeah, I agree with Skull Kid on this. I think that this is all a reaction to what's going on at Activision Blizzard. It feels like a cover our bases statement, and I'm not bashing Nintendo, like, I'm not saying that in an "oh, Nintendo doesn't mean it" way. I'm saying more, to me, this isn't a major story in, like, you had said, why weren't they doing this before? I think they may have been doing this before. This is just, it's the conversation around the industry now, and you kind of have to release a statement like this or people are going to look at you sideways.
Yeah. I do want to note one thing, though. This kind of goes back to my, why weren't you doing this before? In regards to the whole hiring women, they note that in the, I guess what they call it, Nintendo's group's principal offices, 23% of their employee or their managers are women, which, if you really think about it, is not a lot. But then when you look at their Nintendo of Japan numbers, it's 4.2%. Yes. That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even if you do the argument of, oh, it's about hiring the best person for the job, I kind of would wonder how, you know, there still isn't a higher percentage of that. I'm just saying. So I mean, for all you ladies out there who want to work for Nintendo, there's your pass, I suppose. You know, like, they're going to be clearly hiring more women and try and create a place for you to have a bigger career in gaming. So you're waiting for your chance, I guess here you go. And I hope you get the job. Because as much as some trolls on the internet want to say it, yes, women can game, and they can make great games, and they can lead teams to make great games. Stop saying otherwise. Idiots. Ah, okay, enough troll bashing for now. We still got time, I suppose, but we'll move on for now. Now onto a game we are very much excited for, Triangle Strategy. My gosh, why is that a title of a game? Why? You guys, like, totally complain about that title, like, every time. Yeah, cause it's a stupid name! Even Skull Kid agrees with us. This isn't the right Skull Kid.
Yes,
leaving me hanging.
Like,
don't leave me hanging. Go! Bash it!
Yeah. Rah, 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 rah.
There you go. So they released a character trailer for Roland Glenbrook. And this is the first, they even know that it's like the first character trailer, which is good. And it's in Japanese, so I have no idea what's being said, but I'm sure it's impactful and inspiring. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just glad that we're finally getting some sort of details regarding to this game, even though it is just right now in Japanese audio only right now. So, but Again, we're getting something. It's something right now. I mean, hey, now you not understand how flat I was waiting for Shin Megami Tensei 5.
So, yeah, pretty much. No. Like, I'm first of all, I'm just happy they're promoting the game in a unique way, because we're only, this is the second at the time it's recording, and it's coming out on March 4th, so that's, what, 3 months away? Yeah, that's 3 months away. And so, which by our luck will be here before we know it. And we're like, oh yeah, how did we already get to this point? So, but I'm glad they're just promoting it, because I really think this could be like another Octopath Traveler. And yes, I know this is made by the same team. I'm just saying in general. But
This is going to be better than Octopath Traveler too. And I like Octopath Traveler quite a bit, but
yeah.
This concept I think is more exciting. Octopath was very traditional and as just an RPG and. I know that Project Triangle Strategy is not breaking total new genre ground,
yeah.
But the story and the possibilities
right.
for how unique this game can be are very exciting to me. I wish that this trailer was released in English, because there's a lot of footage in it of stuff we haven't seen before. Lots of new characters and new situations that I'm kind of eager to get a glimpse at. At the same time, I guess it's nice that I don't have to worry about being spoiled, but... I'm looking forward to seeing. I think that they will translate this at some point. I can't imagine that they're not going to push this game heavily in North America. I'm sure that they will.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, like, if they have noticed regarding the success of Octopath Traveler, like, yeah, I expect that they will try to really advertise the thing. Because, again, it is, again, a great Square Enix property. And if Octopath Traveler was a great success, then yeah, why not Triangle Strategy? And I can't imagine how big the cast will be. I mean, like, maybe not as big, maybe like Fire Emblem Three Houses, but I imagine it's going to be as big. Because, again, it just kind of it gives off that, obviously, Final Fantasy Tactics with that Fire Emblem story baseline of like expandedness. So, yeah, that's how I see it.
Yeah, the big difference between Triangle Strategy and Octopath is Octopath was unique because it had 8 different stories going on that technically wove into one another. Whereas Triangle Strategy is you're with the same core characters, but you're choosing different paths that can guide the overall story. And that's a huge difference. And honestly, I prefer that to Octopath style, because don't get me wrong, I love the Octopath stories. I liked how each one was tailored to each characters, and they were great characters overall, with it, you know, a few exceptions. But with this, I feel like I actually will have a more cohesive story.
Yes.
Versus, oh, I'm doing Ulbricht's storyline. Oh, I'm doing Primrose. Now let's go jump into Ophelia's and then Tessa's. And
Right. And so you gotta jump into that last point you stop with their story. Yeah,
probably won't feel as stunted as the chapters do.
Yeah, and then that way you don't have to worry about like one story being grander than the others, because more than likely all the paths in Triangle Strategy will, you know, have a certain amount of weight no matter what path you choose. Like as you saw in the overview trailer, there's gonna be major decisions that drastically change what you do, as was also shown in the demo, as Tyler noted in his preview. So I look forward to that just as much as everything else, and that these character trailers help build up the hype, that's great, because I would love another one of these games before the Switch ends, because I think they could totally do that. So we shall see. But for the love of God, come up with a better name. Oh, gosh. Again, pitch meeting. How does that happen? Like, let's call it Triangle Strategy. Why? Scales of Conviction. That's the title. That should have been it for... Gosh dang it, we should be hired already. All right, moving on. I should change this to Bitter Ends. That should be our episode title, because I'm incredibly bitter about things. All right. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here's a good one. The UK, we've been talking about them a lot recently because of gaming sales and such, but this is actually a very interesting one. The UK over Black Friday week had its biggest sales week for the Switch ever, which I find incredible, because the Switch has been out for, what are we at, four and a half, five years, something like that right now? Yeah, 2017. So yeah, almost 5 years, and this year was when it had its biggest sales week in the UK. To the extent that, according to the insider who tallied this, not only did the main Switch sell well, a bundle of the Switch, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and 3 months of Nintendo Switch Online had a huge showing, and the Xbox Series S, yes, the S, not the X or the One or whatever, what's the new one?
The Xbox Series X.
That's what I thought. Yep. I thought. There's too many letters. All right. Like that. The S, not the X, was the second place winner for the UK, and it was, quote, a very distant second place. So Switch dominating the UK. Love it. Love it. So I also want to note how many people, I honestly don't want to say this, but like, how can you not have a Switch at this point? I mean, unless you're like that person who only wants to get like one console per generation. And I've been that person. I've been that person with Nintendo for now two generations. No, three generations. Yeah, 3, 4, and 5. I haven't had a PlayStation since PlayStation 2. But PlayStation 3 was way too expensive. I wasn't going to spend $600. PS4 was cool, undeniable, but there wasn't a lot of games for me. I probably would have liked some of them, like Horizon Zero Dawn and some of the others, but I didn't want it. And PS5, even if I didn't want it, I can't get it. Dang bots. So.
Yeah, bots are annoying.
Facts of life. Oh, did you hear about the story that's coming out of that?
Huh?
Okay. So as I've noted, as I just said, you can't really get a PS5 or an Xbox Series X right now because of, A, the chip shortages, which we talked about before on the show. But also, bots are basically scamming people online by buying them before people can click and buy, and then selling them on eBay, right?
Right.
Apparently, and this was I found out about this on G4 today, the U.S. government is actually doing something about this. Oh my gosh, they're actually doing something. It's a shocker, I know. They're apparently going to pass a law called, it's something along the lines of the Bot Grinch Act. Yes, Grinch. Like, yeah, seriously. Basically, the law is going to be that a bot cannot buy a retail item.
Sounds fair.
That is fair. I love it. There's no catches to this. This is an actual law they are considering passing. And I'm like, this is great. I hope it passes. But don't you guys have, like, bigger issues right now?
It's kind of like wondering, like, oh, we're taking care of a little quality of things. Yeah, unfortunately, have you not seen the big giant red sign in front of you?
Yeah, I'm just like, don't get me wrong, I love it when Congress does, well, anything positive. But, and this is really great, because I know a lot of people, including some G4 hosts, who do not have a PS5 or an Xbox Series X, despite them seriously wanting one. And bots may not be the only reason, but it's a large reason why a lot of people are dealing with these shortages. And I love the idea of Congress actually getting involved. It's kind of like what happened with, remember, the microtransactions debacle with Battlefront 2 and how Congress almost got involved in that. Technically they did. But like, I like that. I like that this is an actual issue. It's affecting a lot of people and they're trying to deal with it. But there's a lot of other issues that they really should be dealing with right now. And I'm like, I want this because this will help gamers, but there's other more important. This is not S tier. This is B tier at best. They're A.
This is the most important issue facing me and my family this year.
Oh, jeez.
You know what, Tyler? You're right. Let's just screw it. Forget the other things. Gamers first. I will make that my platform when I run for president in 7 years. You guys know I am serious about running for president in 7 years. I have to wait till I'm 35, which won't be until after the next term, so I have to wait. Dang it, I'm born in November. What are you gonna do? But I will make that's my platform. Gamers first. All right.
I believe that was an episode on that from Batman and Beyond, that one episode, like, we'll finally break free society of the oppressed citizens. Gamers.
What a world we live in. Oh, gosh. And we haven't even gotten the metaverse yet. Moving on. So, X-Play did a great thing on, like, what is the metaverse? And it's just like, it makes me wonder what the heck is going to be, the world is going to be like in 5 years. That's all I'm going to say. Anyway, even though we do not have Advance Wars Reboot Camp coming out, we are getting Big Brain Academy Brain versus Brain. And there was a new trailer that came out for it, and the reviews are very positive. And so, if you're looking for something to push your brain, you should get it, which probably means not a single person on this podcast.
No.
I mean, the only thing that probably will... I mean, I've heard about the Big Brain Academy games. I mean, ever since, like, as they said, like, it's been like a 10-year, almost like a decade hiatus. But I mean, the only thing I'm more or less kind of interested in is like the Brain Age games back on the original DS.
Yes.
If not Brain Age to the Switch, then maybe that'll get that my interest. But yeah. Big game, I mean, again, it's a brain exercise game, so why not? It's the only one right now.
Game's currently sitting at a 72 on Metacritic.
Really?
Yeah.
It's not that bad, actually.
No, it's not.
Considering. Because let's not forget, I mean, in gaming world, that's a good game. Mm-hmm. Like, 70 is good-ish. Or good positive.
For some reason, 70 is average in the gaming review space. That's weird. It drives me insane. But every single, like, IGN 70 is quote-unquote good. But, yeah. Like, every single game gets a 7. So it's, yeah.
Or 7.8.
Or 7.8.
Or 7.8. Actually, and I do apologize for keep referencing XPlay on this, but Adam Sessler did a great rant about Metacritic, and it's the idea that, you know, you have to be 80 or higher to be good when that's not how it works. Because in school, if you get a 70, that's like a D. Versus in the gaming world, that's, you know, that's a positive. You know, it's 5 should be average. You know, that 5 is right in the middle, but that's not how it works for some reason. And, you know, so 7 is seen as less than average or average. And how does that work? Like, there have been games that have gotten 7s on review sites that I absolutely loved. All right. Including
Yes.
Including multiple of those 7.8, 7.9 games. All right. I'm just saying. So,
and let's not forget about IGN's Prime. We're going to God Hand with that 3, which is actually a very cool classic. I love.
Yeah,
yes.
I remember God Hand. So, as in all things, you can look at the review scores, but if you're interested, go get the game. Especially, it's the holiday season. Why not splurge on yourself? Okay, honest question. Have any of us, I know Will has played it, but have any of us ever played Big Brain Academy or Brain Age?
I played Brain Age on the DS, but not since.
Skullcage?
I have not played it. No.
Yeah, neither have I. I mean, I've seen people play it, and I would imagine if I was a bit younger, like as of right now, because remember, I'm old. I'm 32. So, no, nothing. Fine. But if I was, there we go. If laugh, minions, laugh. If I was, So if I was younger, I probably, and I had like a sibling that I, you know, actually got along with, I probably would play this because half the fun is apparently going up against a sibling or a parent or someone online and trying to see if your brain is bigger in these situations. And I remember the first trailer for Brain versus Brain, and I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool, you know, putting the family against each other, because that's what we all want during the holiday season, is to fight against your family members to see who has the biggest brain.
And I know that I have seen the commercials as well. Like, then they had new Patrick Harris, if I recall correctly.
Gosh, I don't know. I haven't seen that. I saw they had Brie Larson promoting something recently. Like, they've been trying for all these celebrity guests, but they only put them on like Instagram and such. I'm like, just like, why not showcase it more? Like, they did the John Cena commercial and they blasted that to the heavens. Why? I can't even see him playing the game. Thank you.
I would like to introduce a brief moment of locker room talk.
Go ahead.
I was on the fence about how beautiful Brie Larson was. And her Nissan commercials, I think it's Nissan, changed the game. She might be a top 5 most beautiful person, and the fact that she's a gamer, I'm in love.
Yeah, and a superhero.
Yeah, and a superhero.
And she's Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah, full stop, and this is breaking a little bit of kayfabe. I didn't get to tell the guys this, so I want to hear the reactions. The main event tonight, if we weren't going to talk about the Game Awards, because that will be our main event, I was going to do something based off of the epic strong women of Nintendo. Because, Will, if you remember that meme I RT'd, and you also did about the waifu.
Yeah.
There is a new term for waifu out there. It's called the waifu, and it's a reference to the it's a reference to the protein of milk, and of course protein builds up your muscles. And so a waifu is a super strong woman that you find attractive. And so there's a lot of people out there, I don't know why, but they think that strong women aren't attractive. I want to kill all of them. All right? Cuz like that's just wrong.
People who say that, they have not seen AEW. I'm just going to say that they have not seen AEW.
Okay, well, thank you, Will. I was going to say they haven't watched anime. So you see, we know each other so well. We're such good friends. And laugh, minion, laugh. Anyway, so I was going to have all of us pick like a strong woman, a woman from Nintendo history that would fit the waifu. But like, you went Brie Larson, Tyler, and that she perfectly fits the mold. You know, super strong woman, super talented, beautiful, epic. What more could you want?
And ironically enough as well, because I was looking through my history, and it's actually, this was also, I think this was always, I think roughly 8 years prior when we did our episode 8 of Nintendo Waifus as well. So, ironically, it times out, yes.
Did you say 8 years ago?
I think, like, is it 2013 or, because I remember, I saw my Facebook memories, and it was like, yeah, this was during the time we recorded episode 8 of, and it had our main, topic.
Okay, there's a difference between episode 8 and 8 years ago. We have not been together since 2013.
Yeah, I think maybe 2015 or so.
Better.
I forgot the year. I forgot the year. Yeah.
2016, I believe we started.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we're on episode 256 right now. So 52 episodes in a year. It's almost less than that. We've missed a few. 50 episodes in a year. So that's 5 years, a little over 5 years. So 2016, yeah, give or take.
Okay. 2016, yeah, yeah.
Because right. I remember
baffled that you 2013. You were like, that could be possible. That blows my mind.
Yeah, I have not known you guys that long, and for the record, I still have not met any of you in real life. Although Tyler, I had a chance to meet Tyler, and then he chickened out.
I know. I was trying to come to this thing. You had a convention in Philly, and it just didn't work out.
I was waiting for you. I was like, let's do NEP Live. Let's do it, brother. And like, no.
right.
And then I've been trying to go to New York Comic Con, where I could obviously meet Will, but that, you know, things happened, the pandemic and everything, so that's kind of ruled our chances. You two are never going to come to Chicago, so that's not going to happen, because we could do C2E2.
I only been to Chicago like on vacation, unfortunately. Yeah.
You're lucky. It's a thing. So anyway. So I forgot. How did we get started on this?
Back on Waifu. Yeah. And you have Brie Larson, and again, like, hello, partner. You got something for
there
me?
There we go.
Oh, that, yes.
Big Brain Academy led to celebrity endorsements, which led to Brie Larson, which led to Waifus, which led to 8 years, which led to Comic Con. Okay. Tangents. Welcome to the show, yes. Scott. Welcome to the show. You had the dulled down version last week because Will was gone, and we were like just trying to get through it for Thanksgiving. But now this is the full NAP experience. What do you think?
I love it.
Good, because now we're going to talk about a subject that I'm sure you have thoughts on. Because, gentlemen, after years of building and fixing and adjusting and making simple and clean additions, wink, wink, hint, hint, the final Super Smash Bros. Ultimate character patch has come, and it is the final one. It is done. The game is done, I guess. I mean, they didn't really word it that way. Well, is it the final patch or just the final character balance patch?
I think it's the final
character balance.
Okay. So there's still going to be, like, you know, spirit editions or tournament stuff, probably.
Yeah, they'll probably still be spirits.
Yeah. So it's kind of like Splatoon, where they got rid of the Splatfest, but there's still, like, minor adjustments and
mm-hmm,
such, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
okay, that's fair. So have any of us played it since the final patch? Because I heard there's some controversial takes or changes that were made.
So I haven't gotten to play it. I think it just came out. But I noticed, I read the patch notes, and I've seen plenty of videos. There's always a tendency to overreact when balance patches come out. And this, it was one of the more significant patches, but not game-changing for most of the characters. They really improved Donkey Kong, and Meta Knight got some big buffs, and both of those characters probably needed them. And Min Min got dramatically nerfed. But besides that, it seemed like most of the changes weren't too significant. As like a semi-competitive player, I think one of the more frustrating things about Smash Ultimate has been, and it's been better in Ultimate than it was in Smash 4, but the balance team doesn't always seem aimed at the right, in the right areas. Like, they buffed Inkling, who's already a really strong character. They buffed Diddy Kong like 100 times, not in this patch specifically, but a ton of characters who were already really good kept receiving buffs, and weak characters like Ganon and King K. Rool, like, they were mostly left by the wayside, and this didn't really break that trend. There's definitely, if you're a Donkey Kong player or a Meta Knight player, you should definitely jump in, and you'll find things that are exciting for you, but besides that, it wasn't a game changer.
Yeah. I mean, I feel that, and I know that I haven't played Ultimate as much as I probably should have. I'm still getting used to Sora, but a lot of people, especially like the diehards, they really take these balance changes seriously. Like, I remember writing about this, and I just decided to look on the tweet that announced it, and there was a guy, like, almost yelling at people to say, fix the Ridley side sweep! Its hitbox does not come until 3 frames after the tail sweep has started! That's not fair! And I'm just like, you notice that?
Well, I mean, again,
yeah,
if
competitive
if...
fighting players are they're kind of in a whole other ballpark when it comes to talking about iframes and frame times and all that.
yes, like the frame data. Exactly.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I know that even the slightest thing can, you know, help or hinder a fighting game, but... like they take this stuff almost like a religion. Like the new balance patches come. Let us pray that it gives us what we need. Like I mean you laugh, but I'm serious. I have seen this.
Well,
stuff.
It's
like,
true. But yeah. I mean, think about it, right? For if you're like MKLeo, like he makes his living playing Smash Bros. So it'd be like going into your place of work and being like, all the desks have changed, and the way you do your job is now different. Like. It sounds ridiculous, but it's kind of true. Like, if I was a competitive player and I mained Donkey Kong, for example, like, this patch, I'd come into work and I'd be, like, fired up because my job would have just gotten significantly easier. I think that enthusiasm kind of radiates through, especially, like, this is just another tangent that I won't go too far down, but like you think about how Smash Bros. Hype works, right? It goes back to YouTube videos, like those Etika reaction videos. Like, these things drive so much hype for these games, and who creates that content? It's the pro competitive players. So when you hear their takes on, oh, this patch affects this in this way, that might not change the way you or me play this game, but it gets in people's heads, right? They hear Hungrybox talking about how this patch changes Jigglypuff, and the average Jigglypuff player is not going to notice that. But yeah. He's right at, like, the super top level, so then the common fan goes, yeah, this totally changed everything, and it's up to the placebo effect.
Yeah. I'm just glad it's playable. I mean, forgive me for liking that, but I'm just glad it's playable, and, you know, I actually feel that, you know, we should try to get all four of us into a match this weekend. You know, I might actually have a chance of winning. With all the chaos that comes on, I'm just saying, it could happen. We could all gang up on Tyler and eliminate him first, and then it's free-for-all. So, I don't know. So, if you do have thoughts on the patch, do let us know. I'm very curious to see what your thoughts are.
It's a crime that Marth was never buffed back to top tier. This is sad for me. Lifelong Marth main, in every Smash game, he's been top tier. In Ultimate, he's stuck in mid-tier forever. It's very sad.
All right, next up, we have Life is Strange. Yeah, I know. Oh, it's a game. Sorry. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I mean, it is Life is Strange. It's like, how is it December? I really don't know. So, if you recall, I almost said Stranger Things. Okay, that's a problem. What if we have Life is Strange and Stranger Things? That's way too close. And yes, I know one's a TV show, but you all get to suffer because season 4 doesn't come out until next summer. Anyway, never seen an episode. Moving on. But Life is Strange True Colors was the new game that came out, and it was supposed to have a same-day release on the Switch as other platforms. And of course, Life is Strange Remastered also came out. But for the Switch version, it got delayed. And the reason for this was that the studio and head of it was Square Enix External Studios, which is a thing, apparently. They noted that the reason they had to delay it for the Switch was they wanted to make sure they had the best version possible for the system, which meant, quote, making many technical changes to the game, which included reworking every character model, environment object, and all the foliage, kid you not, across the game, as well as completely rebuilding the lighting engine, end quote. Okay, I want to stop right there. Foliage. That's a real word. I'm glad someone knows that word. I don't remember hearing that in a quote before, but foliage. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so... yes, I know what foliage is. I'm just saying it's a really weird sounding word. Foliage. All right?
Foliage. I mean, again, that's what the fall season.
I got distracted for a half second, and I come back, and you're saying the word foliage, like foliage. Fall foliage. That's what we're talking about.
Foliage.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, yeah. Tyler. Yes.
And it's spelled weird. It's foliage. That just doesn't look right. Anyway, but he went on to note that, you know, This is the most advanced game in the series, so it was important for us to maintain a high standard of visual quality, performance, and optimization when bringing it to a new platform. I love this! And we've talked about this before. Like, we talk about the quote Nintendo standard of, if it's not ready, we'll delay it, and it'll be good eventually, more times than not. But with third parties, they don't always do this. Like with Tyler's favorite game, Mortal Kombat 11 on Switch, with the very dulled down character models, right, Tyler?
Love that game.
Love
favorites.
That game. So, and like we've seen other ports where they kind of, you know, half-ack it, and it sucks because we want to play these games, but if you're not going to take the time to port them, then or port them in the right way, say like a Doom or Doom Eternal, like those were good overall, if not the best visual quality. Tyler, you played Doom on Switch, right?
Right. Yeah, right. The visual quality was very good.
There you go. So I appreciate you, Square Enix External Studios, for taking the time and delaying it enough so that you could fix this. And it's coming out on the 7th, so we're not that too far away. And if they feel that this is the best version that they could put on Switch, I believe them. And I wish more third-party studios would do this, not just with the Switch, but just the third-party games in general. If you're porting it to somewhere else, take the time to make it look good and work good. Isn't that the point? Apparently not. Okay, then. Let's get going.
It's not the point.
It's not the point. Yeah, no. It's not the point, Todd! Someone comment. Please, someone
that,
comment.
To be honest. I wish they did that more often with games on the Switch.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, the argument has always been, but it's not where they're going to get the biggest sales. How do you know? I mean, right now, the Switch is the biggest console out there. Okay, yes, technically the PS4 is still the dominant one. But if we're talking of current gen, which is PS5 and Xbox Series X, Switch is still dominant. And even compared to the PS4, you know, the Switch has still had a large number of consoles. And even if they get a million sales between with remastered and then True Colors, that's still a lot of sales. That's more sales than you would have had if you didn't port the game over. So why not take the time in case you get that big sales surge? Look at all the indie games that have done so well on Switch but haven't done well on other systems. They wouldn't have gotten that if they didn't make sure that it worked well on the Switch. It's not a hard thing to comprehend. Take the time. Do it right. Good things will happen. Whether it be through reviews being good, positive word of mouth, and of course, game sales. It shouldn't be this hard. Oh, you know what we need to do? We need to get Congress on this. You know, gamers first. The make ported games great again act. There you go. I was like, yeah, I had you though. I had you all there. You're like, well, where's Todd gonna go with this? Oh, it's Congress. Okay, there we go. So we're very political here on NEP. That's just the way we roll. And finally, this story actually came out right after we did the podcast last week. And it's about, wait for it, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. We were wondering, based on the UK sales last week that we got, how well Pokemon Shining Diamond Brilliant Pearl would, or Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl would do. Well, we already know one-third of the answer. Or actually, two-thirds now, because we know the UK. So the UK has had their second-best Switch launch for the game of the year, behind only Mario and Bowser. Bowser's Fury. That was awesome. In Japan, though, the combined sales of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, as solo games and put together, was 1.396 million copies for the first 3 days. Wow.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's a lot of games.
That's a lot of games. And to be clear, I should correct what I said, I think. Hold on. We got to reread this. Oh, yeah. So this includes the single versions of the title, the combo pack that Tyler really hates.
And I hate the combo pack.
You do. You really do.
But it's cheaper than buying the same game twice.
True.
ever so slightly.
But it counts. Every dollar counts, dude. It's gas money. And then download cards, which are still a thing. I didn't realize those were still a thing. I thought that was still only for MMOs, but okay. And this does not include eShop downloads. So it had, let's just round up. I honestly don't know why they did that. It's 1.4 million copies in 3 days across those metrics without the digital downloads. That's huge. So even if we take it for a full week, that's well over 1.5 million, plus whatever happened in the UK. Again, the second largest launch for a Switch game behind Mario and Bowser's Fury. And we still don't know the US number. So I would imagine, I'm just spitballing, that within the first week, Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl probably had between 3 and 4 million copies sold just in the first week. Maybe even 5 million. I mean, if we were able to push it, depending on U.S. sales, because, you know, Black Friday, that was after Black Friday. But still, that's a lot of sales for a remake of a DS title from, was it 10 years ago?
Yeah, longer than that. I think it was 2016, or 2006 was when.
Here,
was,
let me look. Pokemon Diamond. Diamond. Wow, God. Yeah, 15 years ago. September 28th, 2006.
Jeez.
So 15 years old.
Nobody's going to say credit to me, but credit to me. I was right.
No, I'm glad. I thought, again, this makes me feel old.
Okay. Yeah, I feel that too.
Yeah.
John Cartwright of Nintendo Life tweeted out, the more people complain about Pokemon, the better it seems to sell, which is definitely true.
It's true.
At the same time, it also is the power of putting Pokemon on the Switch, which is true. Just, you know, as great as the DS was as a console.
It was.
Sold extremely, extremely well, but just the hype around having these games on a quote-unquote home console has done a lot of good for it.
And in terms of going back to the Japan news, this is the second best Switch launch in Japan outside of only one game. Skull Kid, what's the game?
The one in Japan?
The number one Switch game in Japan at launch.
Wanna say Mario...
No.
Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Animal Crossing. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Animal Crossing New Horizons is number one, which... Okay. So, yeah, like, and again, we don't even know the US number. So, this has already been a super success. And I'm really honestly curious about how this will affect Pokemon Legends Arceus when it comes out next month, because I think this is actually going to hype it up more because people will want that new experience in Sinnoh/Hisui versus, you know, this remake. But we'll see. So, yeah, but again, just in Japan, 1.4 million copies in 3 days for a remake of a 15 year old game. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Alright, and now for our main event. Because as I was reminded by our dear Tellius Tyler, next week is the Game Awards! Yay!
I'll probably not watch it.
Yeah.
Just wait for the trailers to drop.
Yeah, the most rigged thing since sliced bread.
The structure of it is painful, I think. I liked the idea of a halfway between E3, like a winter game show is fun, but it just takes so long and the awards are painful sometimes.
Yeah. And it's like, and they just give awards out for some of the lamest things. I'm sorry. And I just don't know why. And now you have to, as Will noted to me, you actually have to have an account to vote. I guess it's partly because, you know, they don't want massive spamming of votes, but I mean, let's be honest here. There are easier ways to do it, like IP address or, you know, some of the other things. So, I don't know. I mean, we're going to break this down, though, because there are some things we want to know about and what we're expecting. So let's all do this in a Nintendo discussion. All right, Tyler, so this was actually your idea, as I noted. So what would you like us to talk about the Game Awards?
Well, I think the first thing I want to discuss is the reveals that we hope to see. Nintendo notoriously doesn't go big at the Game Awards, but they are there, generally. So I think two predictions each. I think, I guess let's start here. How many things do you expect Nintendo to reveal? How much Nintendo-related content do you guys expect to be at the Game Awards?
Honestly, for me, it's just... I'm not expecting Nintendo to be a whole lot, because if we're going by track record so far, Nintendo basically doesn't really have much to really show, unless like it's something like really big, like with the release of Smash Bros. Ultimate or with Super Mario Odyssey with that concert. I mean, that's the only time I pretty much got to get excited for the Video Game Awards. But this year, I mean, with the first year of like Doug Bowser being leadership, I mean, sure. Breath of the Wild 2, I mean, that's pretty much the only thing I'm very excited for. If they decide to show it, or I don't know, maybe even a hint or teaser trailer of anything whatsoever. But in regards to like Mario's, Nintendo's presence at the Game Show Awards is just like, I'm not expecting much. I'm sorry. It's just, there's just so much things regarding to that show that I don't feel like that's pretty much the old, like a really a big showing for Nintendo. Because again, they have their own Nintendo Directs to really bring out. So they don't want to like share any spotlight with other companies, I feel like. So they have their own Nintendo Directs.
All right, for me, I'm expecting two big things. Two. Because usually, not always, but usually they have a big third-party reveal. Like, for example, I think it was 2018, they did Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Mm-hmm. And that was big. You know, it was huge. That was a million seller. I loved it. Then they did Bravely Default 2, I think 2019, 2020, something like that. No, 2019, because they delayed it because it was supposed to be 2020. So that was huge. So I would expect, especially now with, you know, with their first 5 months already preloaded between Arceus and Reboot Camp and Triangle Strategy and Kirby and all that, they're going to want to make a big announcement third-party-wise to say, hey, this one is coming out soon. Or we might get a trailer for a game we already know, like Triangle Strategy, we don't know. Or Bayonetta 3, heaven forbid. Wouldn't that be ironic? Even though we've already know she's coming back because of the Turek trailer. But the other thing that we all absolutely can guarantee is there's going to be a Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. Oh, wait, crap.
No guarantees there.
No, that's done. That door is closed, you know. And I'm glad because someone on this panel thought for sure that the final game character would be announced at the Game Awards, and I said that was not going to happen.
That could have been any of us.
Not really. It really wasn't. It really was not Tyler Styler. It was not, you know. So I don't know. I think, all honesty, it's a toss-up what Nintendo's going to do, because they either will go big enough or they won't go big at all. Last year, if we recall correctly, the only thing they really announced was Sephiroth, which was awesome. We all love the Sephiroth trailer, but like that was it. So they're either going to go big or just stay home. They have, honestly, both options here, and especially with how the Game Awards are being perceived nowadays, I think it would be okay if they didn't make a big announcement. But if they did, it would definitely be a third-party big reveal of some kind.
How about you, Scott? What do you think?
I don't think they're going to bring too much to this one, just because I feel like if they do show us anything, it'll probably be from things that they already have announced. But my hope is that we'll get more of the games that, like, the PlayStation and PC have pretty much dominated with, like JRPGs or other things. Because one of my favorite things that they announced today was .hack Last Recode is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
I want more
announcements like that. Games that I love that aren't on the Switch that are going to be on the Switch. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, my big hope overall in the world is getting the original four games from .hack as a remaster with a little bit of quality of life fixes, but I feel like that's not going to happen because Bandai hates .hack.
Yeah.
Almost like Konami hates Metal Gear?
Oh! Yeah, exactly. And CyberConnect 2 is always like, if you guys want .hack, talk to Bandai, because we are 100% on board with another .hack entry. And I'm just like, they're on board!
Yeah, I do think that like an announcement for more niche things are better served or better saved for Nintendo Directs, but you know, you never know what they're going to show. I kind of think that they're going to go a little bit bigger than usual this year for some reason. I think that 2022 is going to be a big year for Nintendo, and I don't expect to see a Nintendo Direct, which, as Will pointed out, kind of conflicts a little bit with the Game Awards, until February or March. We haven't gotten into January Direct for several years now. So I'm anticipating Breath of the Wild in some capacity. Maybe Mario & Rabbids Kingdom Battle 2. I think that might make an appearance as well. And then I think we're going to get a surprise reveal. I wouldn't be surprised if Metroid Prime 4 showed up as well. We're going to get one new game, and I think we might get three trailers for existing games. And I sure hope that Metroid and Breath of the Wild are amongst that crowd.
Don't give me hope, Tyler. Don't give me hope.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why. It's that would go against tradition. Also, I think that Donkey Kong. Well, let's transition into this next. You get everybody two wishes for something that you would like to see there. My first wish is Donkey Kong, at the Game Awards. There's a long and storied history of Donkey Kong being at the Game Awards. It begins and ends with Cranky Kong being confirmed for Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze back in, like, 2014, and that's where it ends.
But that I was about to say, like, I don't remember a lot of Donkey Kong reveals.
Yeah, no, that's that one reveal, but it was legendary, and Reggie has yet to live it down. He never will. So that's one thing I would pray to be there. And I don't know if you guys have heard, I don't know if you've seen, it's Donkey Kong December. Donkey on YouTube announced Donkey Kong December. So I think that this is all signs are pointing towards Donkey Kong. What's your preferred announcement?
Personally, for me, I just had this crazy pipe dream, and like, you know how we got spoiled, like kind of low-key lost our minds. I mean, I lost my mind when Joker was revealed in Smash Brothers. I think it's time to go poetic. Let's get Persona Royal on Switch.
Don't give me hope! Don't give me hope!
I know, it's just like, it's so unlikely because, again, the whole situation, Sony, yada, yada, yada. But again, like as you said, Scott, like StarTech GU is coming to the Switch in March 2022. And like, okay, it came on PS4, originally came on PS2, then came to PS4, now it's on Steam, on PC. It seems like we're getting more other Sony properties, or like, originally Sony properties, to Nintendo Switch now. So, maybe it's time. And of course, we're still also continuing celebrating the 25th anniversary of Persona right now, of the series. So, yeah, maybe it's time to maybe get a tenth of, I don't know, another Persona of things, or even, heck, bringing Persona 5 Royal to Switch. I don't know. That's just a crazy pipe dream, but it would be poetic.
Listen, that's what this is for. Your dream announcement.
Well,
it would be poetic because, again, we had Joker in Switch, so it would be poetic.
Well, yeah, you know what? If we're going to do this, we got to go full tilt. All right? Persona 5 Royal gets announced, and to celebrate a man we already know is going to be at the Game Awards, I don't know if you saw this, Sting, the singer, not the wrestler, but the wrestler would also be cool. I'm just saying. All right. Sting comes out and sings Message in a Bottle, because this will be my Message in a Bottle to Atlas. Bring Persona 5 to Switch. That would be poetic. All right. But no, don't give me hope. It's bad enough Tyler is already talking about Metroid and Breath of the Wild at the show. Now you're throwing in Persona 5. Gods.
What's your dream announcement, Todd?
Oh, so many jokes. Okay. If I want to be real here, I would love for Nintendo to make a first-party announcement. I don't know what. I could say Golden Sun. That's too big of a wish, though.
You can wish for whatever.
Oh, I know, but I want the wish to be meaningful, like wishing the genie free at the end of Aladdin. Anyway, I never get tired of showing how old I am. I miss you, Robin. But I don't know. You know what? I'm going to give my wish to Koopa Keith. And I will say I wish for the F-Zero game on Switch to finally come.
You can wish for anything except for banned NP topic.
I know you're
new here. That's true. F-Zero is a banned That's topic true. On NP.
We
did not discuss it until the game is actually
That's
announced.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, you missed that episode, Scott. We made a banned thing. We banned rumors about Smash Brothers characters.
We completely ignored.
Completely.
We continued to talk about every Smash Brothers rumor.
Because it was so annoying. It wasn't, and how many of them were not Sora? And there was Sora who we got, and it was a beautiful trailer that I still cry at. Okay, fine. What's a logical game that could come to Switch that as first party? Star Fox.
Okay.
Fair?
Yeah. Fair.
Okay, because there was, I don't know what the game was, but it was on our Discord today that there's a title dropping tomorrow or something that looks like a Star Fox title or something like that. I don't remember. But, you know, Star Fox, especially after Star Fox Zero, is in desperate need of a reboot, remake, sequel edition thing, Matrix Resurrection style, with Keanu Reeves as Star Fox, obviously. Whoa. So, you're breathtaking. But no, Star Fox deserves to be on Switch, especially with the online. Let's have like the 4-on-4 Team Star Fox versus Team Star Wolf. You know, I've pitched this on the show before, but I would love if Star Fox gets revealed again, or to be revealed to be back. But just in general, they don't usually do first party announcements unless it was Smash Brothers, like with Joker and with Sephiroth. Every other major announcement has always been third party. Bayonetta 3, Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, what was another one? Bravely Default 2, and probably Bravely Default 3, because they have a thing with threes, apparently. But, like, step away from the third party, give us a big first party announcement, especially since we don't know when the next Nintendo Direct is going to be. Even if it's a late 2022 title, let us know what's coming. Because, again, we have that stacked first half, and I'm loving it. I love that we have that. But let's give us something first party to look for in the back half of the year to say, this is coming, and you should be ready for it. And then don't wait 4 years to give us the next trailer. I know, such a big ask, I know.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is a huge ask.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scott, you've already mentioned one Dream announcement, but do you have another?
Uh-oh.
Okay, fine. Chrono Trigger on the Switch.
Wait. Chrono Trigger or Chrono Cross? Because that Chrono Cross rumor has been building for a while.
Chrono Cross is coming to the PS5.
There you go.
Screw that.
Yeah, screw that!
Chrono Trigger is what really matters. We need to get a re-release of that on a more current current software.
Yeah, and since we're already talking about it, let's put Chrono in Smash Brothers. I mean, come on. Come on, Square Enix.
It's done. It's done.
Is it though, Will? Is it?
We have an Isaac spirit. We could have a Chrono spirit.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, as a sprite art, the best thing we could do is a 32-bit sprite art. That's it. Yeah. But yeah, like, but and also, yeah, I'm surprised we didn't mention it in the podcast as well, but as well, at the time of recording, yes, Paper Mario is going to be coming out on the Switch Online service as well. That's coming out next week on December 10th. So, yeah.
But will it actually play well? That's the mystery.
It should.
That is, unfortunately, a good question.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, my other dream announcement is we lied about the pricing for the N64 Online.
We're actually going to give it to you for free.
And we're going to actually make the ROMs good, and we're not going to release one game every 4 months. Because...
yeah, how about lower it down to 50? 50, I'll pay gladly. Sure.
It's... yeah. And their whole, we are dedicated to listening to you all and fixing the problem. Oh, really? Are you sure about that? Because, you know, this should have been something that was very obvious that needs to be fixing now.
How much do you think Nintendo paid YouTube to get rid of dislikes, too? Because they just posted this video, and you can't see the dislikes.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they'd be stacked with dislikes right now.
Yeah. Well, remember, the expansion pack trailer was the most disliked trailer in Nintendo history, followed, I believe, by Federation Force's reveal trailer. So, yeah, Nintendo ain't going to be mad to see those dislikes gone. Or actually, hold on. I don't know if this is actually true, but I think the dislikes still work, but only like the video uploader can see them, I think.
Yeah,
maybe?
The content creator can see it, the audience cannot.
Yeah. So by all means, still go and dislike that expansion pack trailer. And Federation Force just for giggles, you know, just to remind them we haven't forgiven them for that.
We're not letting that go.
Yeah, because watching that trailer really fills me with dread.
All right, any more dream announcements before I move on to the next thing, which will break down the categories a little bit, and I'll ask you guys.
Actually, yes, I will, just because I know it's going to cause a lot of people to be angry.
Uh-oh.
I want the Game Awards, and I know this is a big ask, but it's my wish, and Tyler said I can wish for whatever I want. I want the Game Awards to not be rigged this year. Because
I mean, actually have the panel know what games are.
Yeah. because I mean, I'm looking at I'm looking right now at all the categories, and they were like, there were some really dumb categories, but I'm looking at Game of the Year, and some of these I'm fine with them being in there. Ratchet and Clank, A Rift Apart, sure. Quality. Resident Evil Village. Hopefully not just because of Lady D, but you know, you never know the panelists.
It mostly is because of Lady D.
It's mainly I'm sure she gave them two big reasons to vote for her. Anyway, that for the record, that's she's technically a waifu. I'm just saying, she'd kill you, and he'd probably be okay with it. Deathloop, I've heard nothing but great things, especially from... I have. I honestly heard of It Takes Two, but I didn't realize it was on that
it
level.
It is good. It is good. I can vouch. That is good.
And that's great. And I mean, I personally have only heard light things about it, but if enough of this panel thought this was a quality game, that's great. I like that this kind of breaks the mold, because if you think, especially last year's... showing the only real indie game was Hades, and everyone loved Hades, obviously. Dread's on there, awesome. Psychonauts 2, fine. And so I honestly can look at this and say, I don't know who's going to win. But last year, it was oh so obvious they were going to give as many awards as possible to The Last of Us Part 2. Even with all the backlash and everything that gamers were saying about it, they followed the critical acclaim and gave it to Naughty Dog when it totally didn't deserve that award. Hades way more deserved it than Last of Us Part 2, and it was so obvious that it was rigged in Last of Us Part 2's favor, it wasn't even funny. So I'm hoping, beyond hope, that they actually give it to the rightful games versus just the games that will give them attention like they did last year, because that's why a lot of people don't like the Game Awards now, because they can tell it's oh so rigged.
Yeah.
It's just it kind of helped, like, cause they always with the whole board, like, oh, the board is like, okay, they haven't played any Nintendo games, they haven't played only Sony games. It's just like, geez, who are these board members? Are they even truly gamers? Like, but then again, that's a big argument, yada yada yada. But yeah, it's like, okay, how about you put a board member from the East Coast, West Coast, or heck, even around the world? Like, yeah, putting Yoshi Suea of former Sony fame, or I don't know, anybody. It's just, yeah, are they really gamers? I mean, heck, I'd be very happy if they put in Yoko Taro, which again, he's a mad lad, or yeah, heck, even Kojima. Just like putting these three people in there, but no, happy board members who have experience in the game industry. Uh-huh. Do they?
Yeah.
Do they?
Well, and I know some people are out there are going to be mad at what I say, because, well, wait a minute, Todd, you weren't mad when Breath of the Wild and Super Mario Odyssey were best Game of the Year candidates and Breath of the Wild won. True. But were you really going to say that they weren't Game of the Year characters or games? And then Breath of the Wild winning wasn't oh so obvious because of everything? And even now, so there are some people who would argue it shouldn't have been Game of the Year because a lot of the critics were taken aback by it, while the ones who actually played it found flaws in it, like the weapon breaking system, how the open world wasn't as full as it should have been. You know, hindsight is 20/20, but it still deserved to be Game of the Year nomination at the very least. And should you think that this year is not that rigged, let me remind you that Cyberpunk 77 is nominated for Best RPG.
Among, like, a bunch of other RPGs that came out this year that no one wants to talk about.
Neo, the one that's with you, Bravely Default,
Blue Reflection. There's a humongous list of games that came out this year that they just like don't even know even came out, I feel.
Yeah, but why do they put Cyberpunk? Because it's the controversial yet somehow popular choice. Because if you did have a system that it worked on, you had fun in it. But how many of you actually were that? Also, how is Tales of Arise on there? I didn't realize it was that good.
I want to get that game. I think
it's a really good game.
It is? Okay, then I take that back.
Though it suffers from what I think of the Final Fantasy VIII syndrome, where the last half of the game is just kind of what the heck is going on kind of deal.
Yeah.
But it's still really fun to play, and it has some really good mechanics that they introduced into the Tales series.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really good game.
Yeah, but I've heard a lot about Scarlet Nexus, that's fine. Clearly, they got to play Shin Megami Tensei before a lot of people, because I was actually really surprised that they got on there. And then Monster Hunter Rise, I heard, was really good on Switch. Tyler, Will, you played it, right? That's the one you guys played?
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about it. I didn't get hooked into it that, but I'm going to give another chance. I actually talked a friend into buying it, so.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, again, with the new expansion coming out, and plus we have a Sonic DLC as well, so, yeah, why not?
Yes.
Let me jump right into the categories.
Do it.
Because I want to I will ask you guys which games that are on the Switch have a chance at winning their category.
Okay.
So for Best Action Adventure Game, Metroid Dread is a nominee. And it's going against Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village. Percentage, what chance do you think Metroid Dread has of winning?
25.
That's probably what I'd say too. 25 or 30.
And usually you might think, well, wait, why aren't you going higher? Because even though I don't agree with some of these being in there, like I don't know, I didn't play Guardians of the Galaxy, but I've heard mixed things about it in terms of gameplay. But I also heard the gameplay might be the best part of the game, especially it's definitely not the visuals on Star-Lord. But
honestly, Guardians is great. But
that's great. That's great. I'm not bashing. I have not gone to play it, but then you look at like Ratchet and Clank, which is always solid gameplay mechanics.
Yes, it's quality. Resident Evil is,
I heard, very good mechanically, even if it doesn't exactly understand how the body works when you actually get injured. But I digress. And what was the other one? Psychonauts 2? Well, Psychonauts is like always a fan favorite. So even though Dread absolutely has a chance, I don't know if I can go higher than 25, because that honestly is some steep competition.
It's great competition. I completely agree. I think 25 is the perfect number. I would vote for Ratchet and Clank.
See?
But Metroid Dread is right. I mean, it's a great choice. That's a good category. That category is loaded. See?
And that's one where I can also say I don't know who's going to win.
Yeah.
If I was to bet, I would honestly say Ratchet and Clank, because they are always mechanically sound gameplay titles. And that's why it's lasted this long. But you never know. Guardians could pull the upset. They could give it to Resident Evil or Psychonauts or Metroid. So that would be one where if whoever wins, I will not say it's rigged.
Yeah, all of those games are phenomenal action and adventure titles, too. It's not some categories every year you look at it and you're like, oh, that's soft.
RPG category.
Well, that brings me to the RPG category. Shin Megami Tensei 5 is nominated, going against Cyberpunk, Monster Hunter Rise,
which is also a Switch game.
And Tales of Arise. So Monster Hunter and Shin Megami are on Switch. What are the chances that either one of those win? I'm going to say 95%.
Wow.
I think Monster Hunter Rise is a lock.
Really?
Three quarters, in my opinion. Yeah.
I was going 50%, but dang.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have to be the most controversial one here. 0%. Because you know that if they put Cyberpunk in there, they're going to give it to them. They are totally going to give it to Cyberpunk, and they'll justify it by saying, like, when it works, it's the best RPG around, which is laughable at best. And that's so wrong.
After what they had to do at release, and again, for CD Projekt Red. I mean, yes, are they going to really try to bet on that, like, on the history of Witcher? Like, oh, that's a great track history. That's why it deserves it. No, have you not seen the product at release?
Yeah, if this happens, this is just as bad as Last of Us Part 2 winning Game of the Year last year.
That would be hysterical, though. I think Monster Hunter Rise I can't imagine it not winning, but maybe it won't.
I want to be wrong, but I see the rigging in place. It is right there, because if I was in front of that panel, I would hold up Cyberpunk and go, this is not a good RPG. Then I pull out Neo the World Enter the U and I said, this should not only just be best RPG, this should be Game of the Year nomination. But you didn't, because I bet you idiots didn't even play it, you monster.
Alright, let's flow through this next one, because we talked about soft categories. Fighting games is soft. However, a game near and dear to my heart, Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl, is nominated.
Oh, gods.
It's going against Demon Slayer. I'm not going to attempt the Japanese.
Just say
Inokami Chronicles. Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Thank you, Will. Guilty Gear Strive.
Okay.
Forgot that came out.
Melty Blood. Type Illumina. Melty Blood.
Yes, Melty Blood. Yes,
I have never even heard of that.
It's a niche game, but it's actually pretty decent.
It looks kind of cool.
It's a niche game. Clearly. Just look at that title.
Virtua Fighter 5, The Ultimate Showdown.
Okay.
I didn't realize that came out. Like, what is this category?
It came out for PlayStation Plus.
Just for the heck of it, I'm going to go Nickelodeon. Just for the heck of it. Because I knew Demon Slayer came out, but these other games, I'd Strive, I remember that now because Keith was talking about that. But, like, Melty Blood and Virtua Fighter 5, which is a very old game, but they brought it back, I guess? Like, no, Nickelodeon all the way.
Just because of something that you know. I mean, like, it's a very fair competition. Again, I'll give props to Nickelodeon, respect where it deserves, as it is a very good all-star cast of Nickelodeon characters. But it's hard to say we're going to Strive, because again, a lot of people were expecting to Strive, but even that has its problems.
Yeah.
And even with like niche games, like, no, I'm surprised Melty Blood got into this thing, and that thing is like a very niche title.
Yep.
So
look, the developer is called French Bread.
Yeah.
Like what? Like what is this game?
The Multi-Blood series is quite, again...
It's a series? Yeah. I don't even know what this thing is! Okay, please, next topic. Next topic!
best family game, not surprising. This is what they do every year. Nintendo gets stereotyped into best family game. There are five games, and four of them are Nintendo nominees. Mario Party Superstars, New Pokemon Snap, Super Mario 3D World and Bowser's Fury, and WarioWare Get It Together. It Takes Two is the other nominee, and I think It Takes Two has a real chance to win.
It has a shot, I admit.
It has a
That's
shot,
rigging.
Yeah.
But That's
I
rigging.
Also don't think it should win.
No.
Because in terms of family game, it's just a just a two-player game.
It's a co-op, yes.
Right,
yeah.
Co-op.
So it's not necessarily like a family game per se.
But couldn't you make that argument for Pokemon, New Pokemon Snap?
You can make that argument for everyone except for
you
Mario
could.
Party. Like,
yeah.
Like
I think
Bowser's
Mario
Fury.
Party should get the win. Just
Mario Party should
the
get
only
it.
Only one that's a family game on there.
I think they mean like family friendly.
That's got to be what they mean.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm just saying, like, but like, look, that's one of the stupidest categories because, like, it's four
really
Nintendo
is.
Games and the one game that just happens not to be Nintendo.
Right,
so.
That's the thing. I think It Takes Two has a good chance, right? Like, if the voters could be split across the Nintendo games, I would give it to New Pokemon Snap.
Yeah,
but
And I'm pretty sure they won't even show it at the stage. Like, oh, they're just gonna put it with the announcement. And the winner of this thing is to X game. It's the gonna not game. We gotta give it spotlight.
Yeah.
Can I just note that one of the categories is best esports coach? Like, how many of us can actually name an esports coach? I can't.
I can't either.
Exactly.
Nope.
No.
All right. Next category.
Even if you follow the esports, very seldom are you gonna actually notice the coaching style.
Yeah.
So I think that's just kind of a dumb category.
Yeah. The
Feller.
Best multiplayer has Knockout City, which is multi-plat, but also
that was
on
good.
Switch,
that was good.
And Monster Hunter Rise. The other nominees are Back for Blood, It Takes Two, New World from Amazon Games.
That's not winning.
And Valheim from Iron Gate Studios.
Another game
Valheim
I forgot came
showed
out.
Up here, to be honest.
It's very hard to say. Like multiplayer is, I mean, obviously a lot of people love Back 4 Blood. I mean, obviously our boss loves it. Was playing with the team, so Back 4 Blood definitely has a very good solid shot. But personally, for me, I just kind of really enjoy like Knockout City and with Monster Hunter.
I really like Knockout City with it, so that's where my vote would go. My only issue I had with Back 4 Blood is that their internet, their like connectivity stuff was garbage. Like,
that's
there's
critical.
So many issues on the network and the servers that it's just like you can't play multiplayer.
Yeah, that's obviously critical when the category is best multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say 35% chance Knockout City or Monster Hunter wins.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, Monster Hunter, I think that's going to be tough to beat, but Knockout City. That looked great. It was in a Nintendo Direct. I've never played it, but I feel like I should.
What if it? I'll just say it right now. If New World somehow wins, then Amazon paid them off. They got that Bezos money.
Yeah,
all right, they're going to be on the next rocket to suborbital space.
Here's a hard category. This will be fun to put a percentage on. Most anticipated game.
I was just looking at this.
Oh, yep.
Breath of the Wild 2 is a nominee. The sequel to The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild
yes.
is a nominee game.
Yeah, I love it. They can't put the new title because they don't know it, so they have to say the sequel to The Breath of the Wild. Breath of the Wild. Just tell us the dang name, Nintendo.
That is going against Elden Ring, God of War Ragnarok, Horizon Forbidden West, and Starfield. All of these games are very highly anticipated.
Agreed.
That being said, I say there's a 70% chance Breath of the Wild wins.
Okay, I would agree, and then the extra 30 is split half and half between Ragnarok and Horizon. Because
ooh, really? I think Elden Ring is...
I was going to say Elden Ring.
I don't know, I
the
just...
I, the most clout.
I mean, sorry. Like, Horizon Forbidden West is supposed to be out by now, and they keep delaying it, you know, which is bad because the PS5 actually, you know, needs games for those who can actually play it on the PS5. And then, you know, Ragnarok's been anticipated ever since it was found out that there will be a sequel with Thor. So, like, that one I know that people are anticipated for. And then Zelda, especially after Breath of the Wild. So I would agree that Breath of the Wild, whatever it is going to be the... probably win, but if there wasn't to be them, I would imagine it's Ragnarok or Horizon.
Okay. Will, what do you think?
Honestly, for me, like, it's got to be Breath of the Wild 2, honestly. It's just no one else, but I will give shot to Elden Ring because I actually have played Elden Ring, the beta test, and it is good, I'll admit. Even for one who's a total newbie on Souls-like games, that thing has a lot of potential. So I'll give props to Elden Ring when it deserves.
And then finally, the Game of the Year. The Game of the Year nominees are... Sorry, let me pull it up. Metroid Dread is nominated for Game of the Year. Going against Deathloop, It Takes Two, Psychonauts 2, Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart, and Resident Evil Village. I say Metroid has a 0% chance.
No.
I was going to give it a 10% chance.
I was going to say 10% as well.
10%.
Okay, why isn't Dread going to win? I'm going to say for two reasons. One, I honestly feel, I noticed this at the beginning, this is a stacked field. Like, this is one where a game could win, and I would say it's not rigged. The other reason I think Dread's not going to win, and I never say this kind of thing because I think it's a stupid saying, it's not the sexy pick. All right, and it's not a Lady D reference. All right, I'm just saying. though some people will probably think it will be, but no, it's like when you think about some of these titles, Psychonauts 2 has been wanted forever. Village came out, and especially with the Lady D trailer, and everyone was hyped for it. It's like the best-selling Resident Evil game. Ratchet and Clank was incredible. It Takes Two is that surprise indie title that everyone is raving about should they have played it. And then Dread is there, and it's a great game, quality game. We love it. But I doubt it will win. But does it have no chance? Absolutely not. This is not a Last of Us 2 situation where we all know that game's going to get it. I don't know who's going to get it. My bet would be Psychonauts 2 or Ratchet and Clank. But I do believe that there is a chance, a small chance, but there is at least a chance that Metroid get it. But based on who it's with, I don't think they'll give it to them.
Scott, what do you think?
Yeah, so I don't know what I'd say would be the best one to get it, because I feel like there's actually a decent variety in the choices this year.
Agreed.
Yeah. It's not all of them are just like the third-person action-adventure narrative. Because all of them are actually, because we have our platformers, we have Metroid Dread with the Metroidvania games.
No, it's just Metroid. Scott, it's just Metroid. It's not Metroidvania. What is wrong with you?
Metroidvania's the genre.
Exactly. But Metroid was the first part of it. That's why it's called Metroidvania.
Then we have the co-op experience of It Takes Two, which
right.
is... Actually, I'm really glad that we have a game like that in a Game of the Year nominations. We have Deathloop, which was always a very highly anticipated game that most, I guess, reviewers really liked. The only one that I wasn't the biggest fan of was Resident Evil Village. And I have a big rant on that, but I won't get into that here. Just note that 7's better.
I kind of want to hear the rant. No. I know it's not Nintendo. I want to hear the rant.
Well, technically they did put put 7 on the Switch via cloud in Japan, so technically it's Nintendo, you know, transitive property, but we're almost out of time, so we'll save it for the next time Ryan's on, or Scott's on, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, so my guess is it probably will be one of the more played games, which would probably be around the Psychonauts, or even Deathloop probably, because Deathloop we got around a lot.
True.
Yep.
Yeah. I going back to my thing, the reason that you couldn't deny Odyssey or Breath of the Wild being in the best game of the year category and being there together was because of their impact. You know, Odyssey was just amazing, and then it had, you know, Jump Up Superstar, which got everyone wanting to play it even more. And then Breath of the Wild was just this fresh Zelda experience, and so that impact was there. Dread was great because we finally got to play a new and not just remade Metroid title, and it felt so good to play. But I don't think it had that impact that said, yeah, I am Game of the Year. I was honestly surprised it got the Game of the Year nominee.
Me too.
So, again, 10%, but I just don't think, compared to everybody else, I don't think it'll get it. If this was Metroid Prime 4 and it's everything that we hope it is, that one would get a higher percentage score, obviously. But as great as as much as I love Dread, I don't think it'll win.
What do you think, Will?
Personally, for me, I feel like It Takes Two feels like I had a very solid chance. It's like I've seen the entire thing, and the game itself is just very moving. I mean, sure, it may not be like obviously the most played with the hardcore crowd, obviously. But I feel like it takes two really has that. And plus, again, it's made from the guy who says, like, screw, like, F the Oscars at the Game Awards. So I think it has that same clout. But other It Takes Two, or, yeah, even with Resident Evil 8, honestly. Like, yeah, definitely has this fault naturally, but it's still fairly solid overall. And again, great completionist game as well, as Gerard said. So I feel like It Takes Two or Resident Evil 8, honestly.
Okay. Yeah, you see, my book is Ratchet & Clank, but I don't think Dread has a shot, just because, honestly, I don't think it deserves the Game of the Year. It's a really good game, but when you compare it to, at least having played both It and Ratchet & Clank, which I'm embarrassed to say are the only two games I've played on this list so far, the Ratchet is just so much more involved. It has so much more going on. It was a more engrossing experience. It felt more complete. I can't justify giving it to Metroid Dread, which is just a 2D side scroller, a phenomenal 2D side scroller at that. But it feels like this game is here to represent Nintendo, which is great. Nintendo deserves that respect. They make the best games generally. But I just don't see it for Metroid Dread this year. And that's actually it for everything Nintendo's been nominated for. There's not a ton of things. I really feel like New Pokemon Snap is getting gypped here. It should be up for more than just Best Family Title.
Neo, just saying. This is the hill I shall die upon. So. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler!
Yes, we have retired the poll question. We're retired again this week as well for the poll question. Well, next week we might ask you about the Game Awards. So.
Okay, but I do want to honestly ask about the upcoming Game Awards, because my poll question is this: how many announcements do you expect from Nintendo at the Game Awards? One, two, three, or none?
Okay, I'm going to post this closer to the Game Awards.
That's fair.
Recording on Thursday is great, but it's a week away, so I think we'll get more interaction.
So post it on, like, Monday?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Monday.
And then end it, make sure it ends before on Thursday, like Thursday morning or whatever.
Right.
So, but yeah, how many announcements do you expect by Nintendo for the Game Awards? And of course, let us know about everything else we talked about today, including Pokemon Evolutions, the Black Friday sales, are you getting Big Brain Academy, or Life is Strange True Colors when it comes out on Switch on the 7th. What did you think about the Super Smash Bros. Final patch? And everything else, let us know in the comments below. So, for Gulkid Scott and Tellius Tyler and Warrior Will, I am Triforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.